Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverins. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. At 5 minutes after the hour on Thursday, May 28th, 2020, you and I have now been living with the COVID-19 pandemic for close to 3 months, and you've probably changed the way you do things every single day and the stuff that you took for granted. Each day as we get closer to the end of the pandemic, we're going to look back and think about some of the lessons that we've learned. How about the spiritual lessons that you and I have learned during this pandemic? You'll have an opportunity to share your experiences when Bishop Donald Hine joins us from the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, later this morning on Morning Air. Also, if your children were preparing to receive the Sacrament of Confirmation and that's been postponed because of the pandemic, how you and your kids can keep the Holy Spirit alive in your lives just ahead of Pentecost Sunday. We'll share some of those ideas. Glenn's got a fresh story corner here on this Thursday morning, a day that we begin in prayer. We invite you to join us now for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. 7 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I don't have to tell you what it's like in your house. You know, because you've had to live there, work there, go to school with the kids. Everything has happened under one roof over the last 10 or 11 weeks, and that's really become the new normal during the COVID-19 pandemic. And you've probably been asked more than once, so what have you been doing in the quarantine, right? If you just speak to somebody, do a FaceTime, or you run into them at the supermarket, you're sharing those stories. Well, let's get the story of Father Albert Haas, a member of our morning family, and how he spent time in lockdown in his retreat center. Father is, of course, a great spiritual director. His latest book, Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And he's currently the chaplain at the Cedar Break Retreat Center. That's in Belton, Texas, in the Diocese of Austin. Father Albert, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. It's wonderful to be back with you. It's been a while.
I know. And for a guy who is so, you know, just so spiritually gregarious, and you just share the light of Christ with everybody, you travel all over the world, you just bring people closer to their faith. What's it like to have to stay at home?
Well, I have to be honest, I feel a little bit guilty, because while everybody is complaining about how bored they are, this time of pandemic, of being in lockdown, has been a great, great time for me to get some work done and to come up with some different ideas. Last year, right before Christmas, I was approached by a publisher, and they asked if I would be interested in writing a little book of reflections on the peace prayer of St. Francis, you know, the Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. So for the first 2 weeks of the pandemic, I had my nose to the grind, and I was able to finish the manuscript for that book, and I sent it off to the publisher. And then I was approached, the permanent deacon candidates of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. They've had their, like many people, they've had their ordination postponed because of the pandemic, and now I believe it's scheduled for August 10th. But they approached me and asked me if I would be willing to give them a day of recollection via Zoom. So for the first time in my life, I gave a day of recollection for the 8 deacon candidates using, you know, that video conferencing Zoom. And that was a marvelous, marvelous experience, because I have always kind of fought against using Skype or using Zoom. And it turned out for me that it's just as easy as doing it in front of people. So I gave them a day of recollection. And then, which I'm really, the two other things that I'm really excited about, I was approached by Pastor Phil Vestal of ruaspace.com. Pastor Phil has a podcast on spirituality, and I've been a guest on his podcast a couple of times. And he asked me if I would be interested in collaborating with him and doing an online retreat on the words of the Our Father. So I said, yes, I'd love to. So we filmed 12 20-minute sessions. We basically walked people through the words of the Our Father, and that's offered for free on YouTube. So if any of your listeners are interested in watching the retreat, all they have to do is go to YouTube and type in At Home Retreat with the Lord's Prayer, and all the sessions come up. Today is day 10, but the previous 9 sessions are still posted on YouTube, and we have 2 more to go tomorrow, and then the one on Saturday on Pentecost. And that was just a wonderful experience of sharing with a Protestant minister the Catholic understanding of the Lord's Prayer, his understanding. And what made it so fascinating for me is that when it comes to praying the Lord's Prayer, I think all of us Christians are basically on the same page. And so it was just a wonderful experience of experiencing our Christian unity in Christ as we pray the words of the Lord's Prayer. And then fourthly, what I've done, and it has taken off in ways that I never thought would be possible, I'm offering an online 5-day directed retreat with me via Skype. And so people sign up, and they commit to praying 30 minutes a day, and I commit to meeting with them individually via Skype for 30 minutes, and we basically just talk about their spiritual life and their spiritual journey. And so you kind of think of it as 5 days of intensive spiritual direction. And so I've done a person in Toronto, Canada. I did somebody who lives near Texas A&M. I'm currently working with someone in Detroit, Michigan, and in Florence, Texas. I've got someone scheduled next week for Springfield, Illinois, and for Seattle, Washington. It has just taken off in a way, and it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And so if any of your listeners would be interested in doing a personal 5-day directed retreat with me via Skype, all they have to do is if they go to my website, which is www.albertofm.org, that's albertofm.org, and if they click on the contact page, they can drop me an email, and I can send them all the information about this personal 5-day directed retreat with me via Skype. So as I say, I've been working like a dog, and I've kind of the pandemic has just been a great time for me, not only to get some ministerial stuff done, but also some time to spend a little extra time in prayer and doing some penance. I twice a week now I've been fasting for all the people who are currently suffering or who have died from the pandemic. The Franciscans have been asked to do that by the head of our order, the Minister General. And so on Wednesdays and Fridays, I've been doing that just so that, especially for the people who have been left behind by their loved ones and people who have not had the ability to even be able to be present at their loved one's funeral. It's just my little contribution to offer them sympathy and condolences.
Wow, Glenn and I have to take a nap just listening to that. Wow, you have to get back to the old routine just to relax. Thanks be to God that you're this busy during the pandemic, but it also speaks to a bigger issue, and that's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit guide you. And as we approach Pentecost, that's an important lesson for all of us, is not to get so lost in the fact that, oh, woe is me, look at me, I have to stay at home, but open yourself up to the Holy Spirit because you don't know where he's going to take you.
Well, you know, John, I have discovered that that has been one of the graces of the pandemic for many people. How many times some of the people who I've been doing the five-day directed retreat with, how many times have they have already said to me, you know, I've never spent time really reflecting on what God is doing in my life or what God is calling me to do. And this pandemic has really forced me, as I stay home, it has really forced me to spend more time in reflection. And you know, wasn't it Socrates who said the unreflected life is not worth living? And so I think one of the graces that people have discovered in this pandemic is as they have pondered their life and as they have reflected on their life, they have come to see just how good and kind and generous God has been to them.
How do you put those graces into action when we get back to some sort of new normal? Because we are also hearing from our Relevant Radio listeners that in this time of quarantine, they are having more intimate conversations with Jesus than ever before in their lives. So there's an increase in holiness that's going on. So when you've gotten the gifts of these graces during this time, how do you keep them alive?
Well, I go right back to that great hymn of the Blessed Mother, the Magnificat. You know, there's those wonderful two lines in the Magnificat. The Lord has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And so the graces that we have received during this pandemic, as we have all been forced to open our lives more deeply to God's graces, let's never forget them. Because I think the tendency for all of us is, as soon as everything begins to open up, we're going to revert back to our default lives of waking up, brushing our teeth, going to work, you know, coming home, eating, watching TV, go back to sleep, wake up, and we're going to end up living our lives once again, you know, on cruise control. And so let's never forget the graces we have received. And with the Blessed Mother, let's every day, both during this pandemic, but also after it, let's pray that wonderful prayer of Mary, the Lord has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And so, you know, that great gift of just remembering how good and kind and generous and compassionate God has been goes a long way in helping us to respond to God's grace. There's no greater gift that we can give to God than simply to say, thank you, because that attitude of gratitude really is the greatest compliment we can give to God, because it puts God right where he belongs, at the very center of our life. It's an acknowledgement that everything is a grace, a gift, and a blessing from God. And as the Benedictine monk, Brother David Stindlerath, says, it's not happiness that'll make you grateful. It's gratitude that'll make you happy.
And doesn't that go back to the very first point that we made, that in plugging into the graces that you've received from the Holy Spirit, you are fine-tuning that spiritual ear for more graces when we get back to whatever normal is, that we now have this ear that's more finely tuned to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit?
Well, that is all. Isn't that the challenge always in the entire spiritual journey, that we live more and more with awareness and mindfulness of how God is speaking in my life? Because as I mentioned in my latest book, Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, my life is a megaphone through which God speaks. And so I need to keep my ears to the ground, and I need to constantly be like Mary. You know, I think it's in the second chapter of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it has that wonderful line, how Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And I think that's what's living with spiritual awareness and spiritual mindfulness is all about, that God is always trying to speak to me through people, through events, through my deepest feelings, and through my most creative thoughts. And sadly, most of us simply go through life as sleepwalkers. And so hopefully we've woken up a little bit during these days of lockdown.
And if you need that little extra spiritual wake-up call, Father Albert will make that happen for you online at Albert, ALBERTOFM.org, ALBERTOFM.org. There's information there, how you can have a private 5-day directed retreat, and so much more information, plus an opportunity to get Father's brand new book, Becoming an Ordinary Mystic, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. Father Albert Hess, the chaplain at the Cedar Break Retreat Center in Belton, Texas, in the Diocese of Austin. It's always a blessing to have you on, Father Albert. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Father Albert Hess this morning, 20 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, keeping that alive, especially if your sons and daughters were preparing for confirmation, but the pandemic knocked out the actual reception of the sacrament of confirmation, how to keep the Spirit alive in their lives and yours and mine too. We'll talk about that in the next half hour, 20 after now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. 21 after, it's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner that's coming up in the next half hour. If you've been in the supermarket over the last few days, you'll notice that it was a little bit different than it was right after we began the pandemic. Just go down the meat aisle. I was in the supermarket a couple of days ago, and it was like, oh, it's fully stocked now. But remember when we were having supply chain issues and there was no pork, no chicken, beef was at a premium? When we look at the supply chain, we think about truckers, but what about those who are on the sea right now? And those who are on the sea right now are a very important part of the supply chain for us here in the United States. And also those can be those who are out to sea for weeks on end away from family and loved ones. And during this time of pandemic, it can be very, very difficult. Let's get the perspective on that now from Father Sinclair Obrey, who is the diocesan director for the Apostleship of the Sea in the Diocese of Beaumont, Texas, also the immediate past president for the Apostleship of the Sea, United States of America, and the executive director of the Port Arthur International Seafarers Center. Father Sinclair, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. It's good to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me this morning with you guys.
Father Sinclair, of course, you know, you saw at the very beginning of the pandemic so many on cruise ships who unfortunately got the coronavirus. They were stranded at sea and they had to find a port and before they came back and just integrating back into society. That's still happening right now. I know you spent time in the Merchant Marine, so we've got seafarers and Merchant Mariners out there and chaplains aboard ships who are out on the sea right now with really no port to come to because of the coronavirus.
Well, right now, specifically with the cruise ships, we still have all the passengers are off all the cruise ships, but we are still having a major problem in getting the crews back to their countries. The Nautical Institute had a conversation with the head of Intermanager last week, I think it was, and he was describing the challenges that ship managers are having in moving crews around. And when you're looking at a cruise ship that may have 1,200, 1,500 crew members from all over the world, moving them back can be a big problem. And so when a nation like India or the Philippines shuts down its international air travel program, it's hard to move the seafarers back to those places. And so though the passengers have been off probably since March, certainly by the beginning of April, the crew members in many cases are still on the ships and are struggling trying to get home, and that's on the cruise ships. We also see that same problem with the merchant ships. Our U.S. flag ships that sail along our coast, for instance, bringing refined petroleum products from Southeast Texas, where I'm at, to say Jacksonville or Tampa or maybe to the East Coast, they're able to do the crew changes pretty effectively now because they're staying within the U.S. But we have U.S. flag ships that are in Asia that are having a hard time moving their crew members and replacing. And so, you know, you have a contract that says you're going to work for 4 months as a rating on a U.S. flag ship. And the 4 months are up, and then it's extended for a month, and it's extended for a month. And the difficulty of eventually getting back to your spouse or to your children. And for our foreign flag vessels, where you have a contract of maybe 6 months, or for the ratings, the unlicensed section, 8 months. Some guys are being out there for 13 months by this point. If this pandemic happened right at the end of your contract, and then you couldn't go home.
Father, it's not, of course, like the days of the mutiny on the Bounty with professionals out on the sea right now, but what's it like on some of the ships where people are worried, or maybe there are a few affected in keeping order and keeping things going?
Yeah, the biggest thing is the psychological pressure that the seafarers are finding themselves under, just because of the sheer fatigue. You have a long contract. You know your life is planned around that, and then the contract ends, but then you can't go home. But you still have to continue to perform your work every day. So we are seeing some signs of fatigue, and then that's brought itself into mental depression. There have been about 4 suicides that we know of crew members from cruise ships who have been unable to get repatriated at this point. So that rabbit hole of depression that they fall into, sometimes they can't escape because there's no light at the end of the tunnel that says, yes, I'm finally going to get home and seeing my wife and children. So the mental health piece is very important. And just like we see in the secular world, for so many of the crew members, they're coming from a much more secular, if not agnostic, spirituality themselves, so that there's no transcendent support for their situation. And that probably adds to and aggravates that psychological situation.
What's the job security of those working on ships right now, Father?
Well, the job security is very high if you're on the ship because you can't get off. But the challenges, we've seen a couple, depending on what part of the industry you're talking about. So if you are working on a cruise ship, your job security is very bad because I don't have an idea of when we're finally going to get anywhere near the number of cruise ships running up again. They've talked about, oh, maybe something in July, maybe something in September, some cruise lines beginning to move some ships. But the hundreds of cruise ships that were sailing out there and the thousands of seafarers on each ship, that's a long, long way. However, on the other hand, because oil prices are so low, oil producers are using ships as storage facilities because all the tanks on land are filled, sort of to wait until prices begin to rise again before they put this oil on the market. So if you're a crew member on a tanker, you're very busy. We had a ship, I was on a ship this past Memorial Day. The crew still can't get off because of CDC and CBP orders that if you are a foreign flag seafarer at a U.S. port, you stay on the ship. That we brought them, we went shopping for them and brought them the gifts that they were there. And they're going to be sailing from Port Arthur to Korea, which is about a 36-day voyage. They don't know where they're going after that, but that's sort of the nature of their job. But they anticipate probably having some cargo. So it depends on what part of the industry that you're in at that point.
It's a fascinating look at seafarers and some of the unique challenges that they're facing during COVID-19. Father Sinclair Oubre is the diocesan director for the Apostleship of the Sea in the Diocese of Beaumont, Texas, and the immediate past president of the Apostleship of the Sea, United States of America. Father Sinclair, thank you for your perspective. God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Keeping the Holy Spirit alive in our lives just ahead of the Pentecost. We'll talk about that coming up next, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. 26 before, good morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Perhaps you pray this prayer, Glenn and I do, when the Morning Air music is playing at the beginning of every hour. It's come, almost Holy Spirit, come. And as we work towards Pentecost Sunday and the birthday of the church, that prayer, come, almost Holy Spirit, come, is perhaps one that you've been praying a little bit more during the COVID-19 pandemic, or if your son or daughter has been preparing for the sacrament of confirmation that has now been postponed because of the pandemic. So how do we keep the Spirit alive? How do we tune our spiritual ear to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit, sometimes in shouts, sometimes in whispers? Monsignor James Patrick Shea is going to give us that spiritual direction. Monsignor Shea, a member of our morning family, is the president of the University of Mary, joining us from the main campus in Bismarck, North Dakota. Monsignor, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
I kept my relationship with the Holy Spirit a secret. It was only mine. And the first time I ever had the opportunity to speak with Father Rocky, it was right after he and I had been on the radio together and he gave me a call. I said, you know, something I've never said out loud to another person, the Holy Spirit is my best friend. And now I'm slightly embarrassed telling that story, but also thinking, well, gee, why did you keep it a secret? Why did you keep that light under a bushel basket? And since then, the Holy Spirit has, well, the Holy Spirit has always been a guiding light in my life and has helped me in some very critical moments of my life. But now I work a little bit more, work a lot more, actually, in listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. How can we best do that to make the Holy Spirit our best friend?
Well, John, your story is the story, I think, of many Catholics, and hopefully the ending of that story, the culmination of it, that close relationship with the Holy Spirit that you have and that you're able to exercise, and which really is our birthright, both by baptism and by confirmation, that relationship that you share with the Holy Spirit is the type of relationship that all of us as believers should share. Because it's true, you know, we're here in preparation for Pentecost, that great feast of joy, the birthday of the church which is coming, it's so important for us to remember that the Holy Spirit is a part of our daily lives and wants to be a part of our daily lives. His intense power working within us, prompting us for the good, causing us to love God more, helping us to set our own selfish desires aside, inspiring us, consoling us. All of that is the activity of the Holy Spirit happening constantly within our souls. And this idea of Him being our best friend is very, very beautiful. It's very beautiful in many ways. But even in the word the Paraclete, Paraclete means to come alongside. And the Holy Spirit in our lives comes alongside and indeed within us and animates our souls, fills us with a fire and a desire for God, and helps us and guides us in so many ways, just as you were saying.
How can we attune our spiritual ear to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit? Because there are a number of thoughts thousands of thoughts go through our minds. And how do we discern what the Holy Spirit is truly guiding us to do versus what I may just be feeling today?
Right. Well, we have to launch into prayer in that respect, John. And so, you know, the way that we go into a church and we adore Jesus, who's God, in the Blessed Sacrament, and Jesus is worthy of our adoration. Jesus is worthy of our prayer. And He dwells there in the tabernacles all over the world, in the real presence in the Eucharist. In just that same way, the Holy Spirit dwells within us in the sanctuary of our baptized souls. And as God, the Holy Spirit is worthy of our devotion and of our adoration. And there's a certain aspect, and this goes back to the point of the Holy Spirit being our closest friend. There's a certain sense in which if we don't go into the church and adore the Lord in the tabernacle, it may be that another person is able to do that. But no one else is able to adore the Holy Spirit, to worship the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary of our own baptized soul. And so I think that discernment that you're asking about, John, begins in prayer. In other words, authentically, we have to come to the Holy Spirit acknowledging that God dwells within us while we're walking, while we're working, while we're playing, and while we're sleeping at night. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, comes alongside of us, and we have to begin by adoring Him and by summoning Him. In other words, the conversation needs to be alive as one person to another. And then in the midst of that, we're able to get to know the texture and tone of the movements of the Holy Spirit, so we're less easily deceived by our feelings.
Monsignor Shea, as we talk about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning, for the moms and dads who are hearing our conversation, their sons and daughters have been working very hard in preparation for the sacrament of confirmation, doing service projects and really understanding who they are as young Roman Catholic men and women. Now, a lot of those confirmation, the opportunity to receive the sacrament of confirmation has been postponed. What do moms and dads do to keep that Spirit alive, the Holy Spirit alive in their children?
Sure. Well, confirmation, of course, isn't the first coming of the Holy Spirit into the soul. of a believer. It's an intensification of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is already there in the baptized souls of their sons and daughters. And so it's important for them to foster that and to consider this postponement as a time of additional preparation. Because there's a certain sense in which the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we're all in that state right now, as we await Pentecost, as we get ready for this coming Sunday, that anticipation of the delight in the Holy Spirit is itself a gift from God. And so, from my perspective, it seems that the additional preparation time can be an opportunity in which young men and women who are preparing for the sacrament of confirmation can be more mindful, as many Catholics aren't, more mindful of the importance, the magnitude of receiving the sacrament of confirmation. And I will share with you, John, you know, we were set to receive a whole lot of people into the church here on our campus at the University of Mary. And, you know, one of the parts of the initiation into the faith is the sacrament of confirmation. So my brother, who's the chaplain of the University of Mary, has been quietly administering the sacrament of confirmation, of course, with the full approval of the bishop individually to those who are going to be received. And of course, that's a disappointment on one level, because it was meant to happen in the grandeur and the beauty of the Easter Vigil with all of their classmates gathered around them and cheering them on. And yet there's been something very stark and beautiful and moving about witnessing the sacrament of confirmation, this inbreaking and intensification of the power of the Holy Spirit coming to these young men and women in an individual way in the quiet of our vast chapel, empty of people. And I think about how it prepares these young men and women then for the commitment of their lives. Of course, the sacrament of confirmation serves also as a preparation for the sacraments of commitment, of marriage and of holy orders. And so those who are preparing someday to get married or to be a priest or a religious, as they receive the sacrament of confirmation, the Holy Spirit's power is intensified in them such that they're better able, as you and I were talking about earlier, to discern God's will and his movements in their life.
Monsignor, traditionally the worry is that families might take confirmation as kind of a graduation from the faith and maybe aren't as active as they are for a couple of years leading up to that, but almost looking at it like less graduation even than retirement from learning. But how can we direct families that might not have been overly on fire about the faith to realize this is just the beginning of the journey?
Right. So indeed, this goes back to the earlier question. It might be that for some families, for some young people, the delay of the sacrament of confirmation has a providential character in that it allows for a longer period of preparation in which the magnitude of the sacrament can more deeply sink in and be noted. But it is the case that one of the sad things that happens is that people think about confirmation as graduation or as retirement from the practice of the faith. And it's supposed to be quite the opposite. The traditional teaching of the church in this respect that all of us have heard so often in catechetical courses and things like that is that confirmation, when it's received by a young adult, and of course in some dioceses now it's received much earlier as it is in the Eastern churches, but when it's received as an adult, there's a certain sense in which the adulthood, the adventure of the faith as adults really begins. And that's when you take responsibility for your faith. In other words, rather than simply allowing your faith to be something which you're receiving from the hands of your parents, it's something that you now take in your own hands, and you take responsibility for it. And this is tremendously important because the world needs Christian adults, believers who are ready to take responsibility for their faith and to spread it to others.
The six-word prayer, "Come, O Most Holy Spirit, come," is a very powerful one, and it's one that gets answered. So you can tune your spiritual ear to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit to help you and to guide you on the path to heaven, as Monsignor James Patrick Shea has helped us this morning, president of the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, online at cometomary.com. That's cometomary.com. Monsignor, as always, thank you. You're in our prayers.
Thank you. You're in my prayers to Blessed Pentecost. Blessed, blessed Pentecost.
Monsignor James Patrick Shea from the University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota. During this COVID-19 pandemic, boy, life has certainly changed, and maybe it's shaken you just a little bit. So how do you get back that confidence? We've got the tips, plus Glenn's Story Corner. It's all next. Our time now, 15 before on Thursday morning, and this is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Good morning at 13 before. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in less than 10 minutes. Are you feeling confident this morning? I know that may seem like this is an unusual question, but with our lives turned upside down in the last, I would say, 9, 10, 11 weeks as we've dealt with the COVID-19 pandemic, you start to question things, right? When you've just been staying at home and just not interacting with people. So what are some of the ways that you can feel more confident from a spiritual perspective? Danielle Bean is the brand manager at CatholicMom.com. She's got some of those solutions for you this morning. Danielle, good morning. Good to have you back.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Have you been out of the house?
Well, out in the great outdoors, because we live in a woodsy area in New Hampshire, so we've got some great hiking trails and whatnot, but not into big stores or anything like that yet.
You know, it's interesting. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, of course, working towards Pentecost Sunday, and being in quarantine and just going up to social media and any number of places online, all of a sudden, that can easily become the authority. And it's not. So you really do have to be discerning, don't you?
Absolutely. You need to be discerning about what is your authority. You know, this is something that I find I need to pause and reflect on a regular basis when I'm making decisions about what I'm going to share, especially about my faith, but how I'm going to live my life. You need to pause every once in a while and say, what is my motivation? Who am I trying to please here? Because all too often, it's easy to slip into trying to please the culture, trying to please, you know, popular opinion, when the only opinion that matters is God's opinion. So if we're focused on pleasing God in all things, that's a great boost to our confidence. We can set forward in whatever path we're choosing, knowing that it's the right one, if we're aligning our will with God's.
Have you noticed in the last 10 or 11 weeks, it's very easy to go down that slippery slope of playing the blame game, right?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, if you go onto social media these days, it can be really discouraging. I've been avoiding that in recent weeks because that's what's going on there, right? People are feeling miserable and they're taking it out on each other. And really, this pandemic is an opportunity for us to encourage and support one another, look for ways to be helpful to other people, look for ways to be turning to prayer, turning to God, recognizing our dependence upon God in all things, not just with regard to our health and public policy, but in all things. It's an opportunity to do that, yet so many of us are choosing the other path, which is the easy path, which is to play that blame game that you're talking about, you know, engaging in arguments back and forth and blaming people for, or judging people for different decisions that they might make, whether it's wearing a mask or going out in public or having a gathering of any sort, or when to have mass and how to access the sacraments. I feel like this is all, you know, the devil's handiwork. He loves nothing more than the kind of disunity that we're seeing right now.
When we should be asking ourselves, how can I be a part with the gifts that God has given me? How can I be a part of the solution in whatever it is? It just happens to be the COVID-19 pandemic in our own immediate area, whatever we can control. But in any difficulty in our life and any challenge that we face, how can I be a part of the solution?
Absolutely. That's a very important question to be asking. We're all facing the same problem, right? And so looking for ways that you can be a solution, not necessarily on the global level, because many of us feel powerless in the face of that. But how about in your neighborhood? How about in your family? How about within your own marriage? How can you be building relationships, encouraging and supporting and loving one another in the way that God intended? I think we need to be confident about doing that. And that's really where all confidence comes from, is in aligning our will with God's. You know, there's that prayer, the Litany of Humility. You and I have talked about it before. And there are those lines in there saying, you know, Lord, free me from the desire to be approved by others. And they can be hard words to say because we all want approval from others, right? That's a big motivator in our lives. And yet, if you're freed from that desire, you are freed up to focus only on God's approval and aligning your will with His.
Danielle Bean with us, the brand manager at CatholicMom.com. We're talking about ways to feel more confident this morning on Morning Air on Relevant Radio, then the Relevant Radio app. And while it's important to look in the spiritual rearview mirror to connect the dots to where we are, if we drove our automobiles by only looking in the rearview mirror, we'd crash into everything when we really should be looking through the windshield, right?
That's so true. So it's really important to not dwell on the past and dwell on past mistakes. This is something that is a challenge for all of us, right? We're either tempted to live in the past, be ruminating over bad decisions we've made, mistakes we've made. Well, that's what the Sacrament of Confession is for, and hopefully you're going to have access to that soon if you don't already. But then, you know, God means for us to be living in the moment, not living in the past, dwelling on our past mistakes and ruminating about them, not living in anxiety about what the future holds because we can't control that anyway. God wants us to be living in the present moment. It's natural to consider our past failures, but if you think about mistakes you've made or sins you've committed, think about those now as opportunities to learn, to grow, to learn how to become a better person, make amends for ways that you need to, but then God truly wants us to move on. It's Satan himself who wants us to be living in the past, who wants to call us by the name of our sins rather than the names that Jesus uses for us, which are beloved and beautiful, cherished.
Also, Danielle, have you noticed, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes in again, is to ask the Holy Spirit, should I hit that send button where, we're all in quarantine, we're all feeling some degree of stress, and the tendency is to kind of lash out. And as you know, in email or a social media post, there is no such thing as inflection, so everything is literal. So we really have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us before we hit that send button or before we say something that we regret.
Absolutely. And spoiler alert, the Holy Spirit will never prompt you to hit the sin button. always going to intervene there. And I think that's a really powerful thing to do in conversations, for sure, person-to-person conversations, but even more so, like you said, in the challenge of digital conversations that don't have that tone, the benefit of tones that we can understand where one another's coming from, not making eye contact, not seeing body language. So it's really an extra challenge to convey our feelings and our thoughts and our opinions in a respectful and considerate way. So even more so inside of those digital conversations, if you're choosing to have them, you know, be praying before you hit that button, before you hit send, before you hit reply. Be praying about it. I can't tell you how many times I've hit reply, stare at the blank screen for a moment, and then decide to just close the whole thing because I know it's not worth it. And I know it's not going to be a good path for me, but we all do have that temptation.
Danielle, all during our coverage of the COVID-19 pandemic here on Relevant Radio, we've been saying faith and facts, not fear. But it's so easy because the secular media in general, I know this is a generality, they manufacture fear in any of these stories that we have going on.
Right.
So we, again, have to be discerning and to put fear aside. Have you ever met a confident person who's also fearful? That doesn't happen, right?
No. And, you know, it doesn't mean that they're never afraid or never feel nervous or unconfident, but they're not focused on that fear. And you're so right that our media feeds into that fear because it's a moneymaker, right? It keeps you tuned in, keeps you glued to the screen if you are feeling fearful, if they're inducing panic in you. And, you know, you're so right to be discerning about it. Watch a news broadcast if there's one that you usually take in. Watch it with, you know, an objective perspective sometime and see what kind of music are they playing. What do these graphics say? What does this feel like? What are they trying to induce in me with this broadcast right now? And it's often not peace and calm. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace, right? And that's what we all want. And so I think instead of tuning into mass forms of media and digital ways of communicating, more so we should be tuning into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tuning into the Holy Spirit, especially leading up to Pentecost, where we're all supposed to be tapping into that, right? And that's the fruits of that are going to be a wonderful gift to not only ourselves, but to everyone we come in contact with and our families and our workplaces in our neighborhoods.
Amen. Some solutions this morning on ways to feel more confident with everything that's going on and the crosses that you and I are carrying in our life. Danielle Bean is the brand manager at CatholicMom.com. Check that out at CatholicMom.com. Danielle, as always, thank you. Stay healthy. Stay well. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. God bless you.
Danielle Bean this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In the next hour, have you been praying the Pentecost, the Marian Pentecost Novena with Father Rocky? We'll talk about the power of novenas in your life when Father James Kubicki joins us. But right now at 3 before the hour, time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Integrity by Joe Weitz. My oldest brother, Bob, at 6'3" and 210 pounds of solid muscle, is a man's man. All the way to the core of his heart, he's a successful dentist, an avid bird dog trainer, and a skilled outdoorsman. He's always been one of my heroes. 30 years ago, Bob married the first girl he ever loved. He said yes to the preacher on that wedding date and gave his word that he'd give Mary Evelyn his life, no matter what. 2 summers ago, Mary Evelyn's kidneys quit. Her blood poisoned her, according to the charts, to the point of death. She needed a donor kidney immediately to stay alive. No kidney that matched her biological chemistry was available. Immediately, Brother Bob volunteered his. He was tested for compatibility, and amazingly enough, he matched perfectly. In a love story of love stories surgical procedure, the doctors opened Bob up from his belly button to his backbone, took 3 ribs and the kidney, and placed the kidney into his bride's abdomen, hooked up the tubes and vessels. The next day, she was alive and well. She feels like $1 million. He feels pain every day, but just smiles and shrugs it off as a small expression of his love for his wife of a lifetime. Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes." Presidential politics, TV drama, talk shows, a lot of our daily conversation makes you wonder if there's any truth left in the world. Brother Bob showed me a man keeps his word. From Matthew 5:37, simply let your yes be yes, your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
What a beautiful Glenn Story Corner, especially in light of our conversations with Father Albert Haas and Monsignor James Patrick Shea, talking about the Holy Spirit. The Glenn Story Corner podcast on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. It's a minute before now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's May 28th, and Pentecost is just 3 days away. One of the more dramatic moments in Western history took place on October 7th, 1571. For centuries, Christians in Europe were arguing and warring with each other. The Turks from the East seized on this weakness and expanded their power and dominion, raiding and pillaging and terrifying Christian populations in Cyprus, Malta, Greece, and Italy. Finally, the new Pope, St. Pius V, came up with a brilliant plan. He invited Christians everywhere to start praying the rosary daily for the protection of Christendom. The rosary brought unity. He then appointed Don Juan of Austria, at the age of 23, to be the admiral of the navy to search out and destroy the menacing Ottoman fleet. On the morning of October 7, 1571, the two fleets engaged in battle at the Bay of Lepanto. With the wind and sun in their eyes, the Christians were at a disadvantage. But then at noon, the hour of the Angelus, the wind shifted, the sun retreated, and the Christians carried the day. History was made, and the Blessed Mother was there, yet again, at the crossroads of history.